I believe that the more people know and understand their purpose in life, the less anxiety, stress, and depression they will experience. And so I help anxious women and men rebuild lost confidence and transform from frustrated and stuck to clear and confident in their life purpose. Through the powerful conversations on this podcast, you will be reminded of the power you truly possess to bring even your greatest dreams to life. This is about more than just building confidence. This is about remembering who you are and why you're here. This is the Confidence Academy podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's Lily Badcock here. You're listening to the Confidence Academy podcast. And today I am joined by the gorgeous Svenja Zabel. I'm going to have a go at the pronunciation, yeah. Svenja. I'll let you do it again in a minute. Did I nail it?
Yes, you did. It was perfect.
Yay! And Svenja, tell us where you are in the world.
I'm in France right now. I'm living on the west coast in a small town called La Rochelle, which is close to Bordeaux.
Oh, beautiful. What's your weather like there at the moment? Is it nice or is it wet like ours?
It's really grey and cold right now. It was really nice yesterday, but we're not so lucky today.
Yeah, no, I think, same here. Okay, well, I don't feel too jealous then. Whenever I interview someone who's not in England, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous. But okay, if you've got grey weather, I'll let you off the hook. That's fine.
Yeah, I think we're pretty similar right now.
I think so as well. So Svenja, welcome to the show. You are a mentor you're so welcome. And you are a mentor for highly sensitive people. So let's kick off by outlining what that means.
Right. So, first of all, being highly sensitive is something that a lot of people are not aware of, that this even exists, myself included. Like, I didn't know until I was like 22 or something. And I just stumbled across a book that said something about natural remedies for highly sensitive people. And I just, I got stuck on the natural remedies, and then the whole universe of being highly sensitive was revealed to me through that. And basically, when I went through the book, I felt like someone knew me better than I knew myself. And it was like a whole thing, like, oh, I'm not weird. Like, my feelings are valid. And that's when I really started to work with it, and I started to see it in other people as well. And I started to see that a lot of people struggle with it. There's a lot of anxiety and depression involved in it, just because we feel so much, and it doesn't work well with how society works. And so there's a lot of conflict in it. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. Like, I love being highly sensitive because I really perceive it as a gift now. And I just want to really help other people live it the same way.
Yeah.
And this is, and I'm a yoga teacher and a Reiki master. So I use a lot of different tools to support the nervous system and just people in general, like, just give them as many tools possible to turn the burden into a gift.
I love that, because growing up, I've heard multiple times, like, someone will say, you're so sensitive, or you're too sensitive. And it's almost seen as something bad. But I agree with you. I don't think it is a bad thing. But I know that even in childhood, like early childhood, I think it's perceived almost as a weakness, isn't it? And I think parents, like, I'm sure a lot of parents feel like they don't want their kids to be too sensitive because they don't want them to get hurt, you know. And I think this, so much that we do stems from that fear of, oh my god, I don't want to be hurt. And actually, it's okay to get hurt, because we're actually a lot stronger than we think we are. And I love this concept of seeing it as a gift. And I think that's actually something that people should be doing anyway, whether your thing is being oversensitive or something else. I think we have to get away from this idea that we have to change who we are. And this is where I think the self-development world is going to shift. I think it's been coming up, like, I don't know, the last 10 years or so, maybe longer for some people. But in my perception, for about 10 years, the lid has been lifted on self-development. It's no longer this wacky woo-woo thing that only a handful of people do. Mm-hmm. It's no longer underground. It's very much in the forefront. Lots of people are talking about more of those concepts. But I think where it got it wrong in the last 10 years, or probably mm-hmm. even longer than that, is it's always come from this place of, oh, you're like this when you should be like that. And I think mm-hmm. the new kind of era we're moving into is, look at all these possibilities that are available for you. Let's find the one that aligns to who you already are. Like, you don't have to change who you are. Nothing mm-hmm. about you is wrong. There are certainly things about ourselves that we can change if we choose to, but I want to get more people feeling like empowered by who they are, rather than feeling like they're failing, or, you know, I felt like that for a long time. And that's where a lot of my, like, you're right, that's where a lot of my anxiety stemmed from, I think. It actually wasn't that that there was anything inherently wrong with me, but I thought that there was, because I was looking at all these other people and I was reading all these books, and they are helpful. But then mm-hmm. underneath that, you've got this thing going in your head going, but you're not like that. And you have to be like that before you can mm-hmm. feel happy. Like, this person's happy. You can't be happy until you've ticked all those boxes. So I think it's a really great conversation to have. I would love you to outline, what are some of the traits of a highly sensitive person? Like, how does that present? Ooh. For anyone who's listening that's thinking, I don't know if I'm sensitive or not, like, give us a little list of what that might look like.
I would love to. Well, the list is endless.
Buckle up, guys. It's a five-hour episode.
And actually, I interviewed a lot of women to get an idea of how they each live the trait and how they experience it. And, well, let's start with, I think the most common one is feeling other people's emotions, like being really sensitive, being really empathetic, mm-hmm. When you really almost confuse other people's emotions with your own. Mm-hmm. Then there's the sensory sensitivity, like even fabric, bright lights, loud music, you know, all these scents, all these, or anything with our senses is perceived a lot stronger. So just a dose more already feels way too much, when other people will be like, oh, I barely notice it, you know. Mm-hmm. There's what else, there's so many.
It's an endless list. And actually, what, as you were,
perfectionism, having the need to always having everything in balance, like everyone has to be happy, otherwise you cannot be happy. Mm. Also the need to be creative and noticing all the subtleties that everyone else misses in facial expressions, in, you know, all these kinds of things, like everything that is really subtle that almost feels like it's not there to other people, you get it. And all this makes it a lot. And then it's a lot to process, and which makes it, can make it really overwhelming when you don't really know how to deal with it.
Yeah, and completely exhausting as well. I want to pick up on what you said about picking up on the energies of other people, because I think this is something that I didn't know about before, and it's something I've learned about in recent years. And it's so interesting, because our emotions are so at the forefront of everything we do. We're so tapped in with how things make us feel. You know, like, how many times a day do you go, oh, I don't want to do that thing because I don't feel like it. And or I don't feel like I did a good job, or like whatever. You know, our emotions are, they basically guide us. And when your emotions are heavy and overwhelming, it feels like, well, first of all, it feels like you're never going to feel any different. So that in itself is overwhelming. And I think when those really overwhelming emotions come in, it's really difficult to understand where that's come from. So it's very interesting to me that it's possible for people who are empathetic, as you said, to pick up the energies of others. So in a time like we're in right now, where there's an enormous amount of collective fear, it's very possible that anybody who's feeling very, very anxious, that that isn't all their own. And just let's dig into that for a minute, because if this is the first time anyone's hearing it, they're going to be like, what? Like, what do I do with that? Yeah. So around that, because, you know, there are things you can do. I just want to caveat this by saying, you know, if you're feeling like this is you, don't panic. There are things you can do. You can set energetic boundaries. You can start to recognize what is yours versus what isn't yours. And this is actually the root out of anxiety for a lot of people, when you can actually see it as something separate from you. And it's like, wait, you know, this is what I mean by, we're so governed by our feelings that we forget we can check in and go, wait a minute, is that really how I feel? Right.
Yeah,
so let's just dig. Them. Yeah. Let's dig into it just a little bit then, just for anyone who's now going, oh gosh, now I've got to worry about the whole world, not just myself.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say you're not alone, because there are so many people feeling like this. And I think that's what usually helps people most, is to know like, oh, okay, well, we're a group of people who feel the same way, and it is like, it's valid. It's totally valid. And I, for example, have stopped to watch the news and things, and I still get, sometimes I get the feelings that I carry the whole fear or all the heavy things that happen in the world. I feel like I carry them on my shoulders sometimes, and it just, it helps to cry. Like, it's just an emotional release, and then afterwards I feel better. And those are the moments where I think you just have to make it through, like just find a way to release them and let them go. Other really great ways to deal with them are obviously alone time. I love to do anything in nature, because it's like, it always feels really comforting. And yeah, those ways are definitely great ways to distance yourself from other people's emotions and really check in with yourself if it's yours or if it was just someone else's. And then tools like yoga nidra is an amazing tool to really calm the nervous system and focus on bodily sensations and really quiet all the other sensory inputs in the mind and find some peace.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to be able to do. I want to share a story, actually, because I'm sat here thinking about my own journey with this, and I think I think I have been very empathetic over the years, and I think that is what I am. And I think that part of my journey of dealing with my own anxiety has been that separation and recognizing that these are not my feelings, and these are not, and it's nothing that I have to fix. Like, that's a big thing for me. It's this big, I need to fix everything. Like, oh my God, the world's broken. Let's go and mend it. Right. And I think I've done a really good job of doing that to the point now where I almost feel a little removed from it. Like you, I don't tend to watch the news. I will check in with the headlines sometimes just to, sort of know what's going on in the world, because I think, like, you have to.
Obviously, I think.
Yeah, but you know, but I don't to, like, my parents
to a certain degree.
Yeah, yeah, it's like just get a little kind of foot in the door and be like, okay, that's what you're all dealing with. Is it awesome? Okay, I'm going to shut the door again because that looks like shit. But I remember my parents growing up; they would put the news on at 6 o'clock every night, and I can remember my mum sitting there like crying, watching the news, like being so distressed because of something that was happening on the other side of the world, like a war or something that she couldn't do anything about. So I think I've made that decision, because I was like to me, I like to fuel my energy with things that make me feel good. But there was a point I wanted to come to here, which is, it can feel like, and I felt like this before, and I'm sure people listening are maybe thinking this, when you first start to hear that concept of, oh, you can almost close the door on it, you feel like, oh, but if I'm not watching the news, and if I'm not tapped into that, then somehow that's selfish. Like, you somehow convince yourself that by not looking at it, you're making it worse. And that, you know, like I've heard loads of people go, oh, well, I read the newspaper because you should. Like, you mm-hmm. should read the paper. You should, like, and I sort of get it. Like, you want to know what's going on in the world. You definitely don't want to be blinkered and be like, my life's wonderful and screw everyone else. It's not yeah. that. But I think there is a fear. If you are an empath, then you feel very responsible for everything, don't you? You feel mm-hmm. responsible for everyone. So sometimes you might take yourself away from anything that feels like it might shut you off from that. You almost feel like, well, this is my burden to bear. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like you were saying, oh, I carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. I do think a lot of people kind of wear that like a badge of honor. And it's like, yes, I've got the weight of the world. Like, it's okay. I'll just carry the whole world. Like, you guys enjoy your life. And it's like, no, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to. And you're not a bad person or a failed empath if you decide to set that down. In fact, there are more empowered ways that you can make a difference when you're not carrying all of that weight and when you're not feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders 100% of the time. And I think I've done a really good job of doing that, but it's true to say there are certain things now that I just cannot watch on TV, mm-hmm. even if it's not real, right? My husband was watching something the other day. He likes all these old, like medieval things where they kill each other with swords, and like I just hate it and here's the funny thing, right? Here's the thing where it's a bit of a contradiction, because mm-hmm. I absolutely love The Walking Dead, which is almost more disgusting than that. But the thing about The Walking Dead is it doesn't feel real. Like, it's just mm-hmm. it's zombies and it's fantasy, and it's such a good storyline anyway. If you haven't watched it, you definitely should. But this thing with the swords, to me, it feels real. I don't know if I had a past life or something where I was like in that scenario. I don't know. But I cannot watch anything on a battleground, anyone like with swords. Like, it really distresses me. And he was watching something the other day, and I wasn't even watching it. I think I was on my laptop or something, or in my phone. Mm-hmm. But I could hear it. And I was like, dude, you're gonna have to turn that off. I can't. And he was like, oh, it's all right. And I asked him several times, like, please, mm-hmm. like, please, can you put something else on? And he was like, oh, it's all right. Anyway, then they get this young boy. I don't know, he's about 7. Well, I've got kids similar age. And they were like threatening to kill this kid. And I was just like, I can't do it. Anyway, the worst thing happens. And I just burst into tears. Like, mm-hmm. but not just like, oh, a little tear. I was like howling like it was my child. I was just like, Kevin, you've got to turn it off. Like, I can't watch that stuff. And he was like, shit, like trying to find the remote going, oh my God, she's absolutely lost it. And he's like, I don't understand you. It's not real. It's a film. Like, you're mm-hmm. like, you're ridiculous. Like, he was literally like, you're ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't help. Like, it just feels like it's really happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why you want to spend your evening watching that. Like, of all the things to fill your beautiful mind with, you're choosing to watch that. Like, I don't get it. So anyway, he gets lectured from me every now and then. And it's funny because I think day to day I can manage it, but then it's like a film will come along and then I just can't. It, like, certain things will get me. So mm-hmm. I think for everybody listening, I think there's going to be a number of people. I think, first of all, there are going to be people listening going, yes, that's me. I'm absolutely an empath. Maybe you guys are listening and going, oh yeah, but being an empath is a beautiful thing. And this is your point, isn't it? It is a beautiful thing, but there's a way to manage it so that it isn't taking away from your quality of life. So let's just talk about that for a minute. So presumably this has been your own experience. Is this something you've had to learn to do first?
Oh yeah, heaps of stuff. It definitely felt like a burden for a long time. And as you said, with the journal and stuff, it feels like you want to save the world, but you can't. And I think it's a really thin line, because we have to protect ourselves from too many negative stories and incidents and all this, but at the same time we cannot just withdraw and be like, oh no, I'm too sensitive and I cannot, you know, deal with any of this. I think at one point we still have to be like, okay, I'm standing up for this and this is not right. And, you know, so I think it's a really thin line and it's okay to get it wrong. But definitely for we always have to keep in mind to fill our cup first and then we can help others and be of service for others. And for me, I think it was especially taking time for myself and actually admitting that a lot of things were just too much for me and not like pushing as hard as everyone else did. And for example, I finished high school, but then went traveling and never went to uni because that was like a system that I never like, just wasn't for me. And traveling was when I was actually for the first time I felt like myself. I felt like I could be myself. It was safe to express what I felt, like all these things that I had suppressed. Finally I could live them and be like, oh yeah, people actually still like me. It's to oh, actually no, I feel like not doing this and no, this is too much and you know, these kinds of things. And it just takes time to peel off the layers that, you know, when I was a kid, I used, like my mom used to tell me, toughen up and you know, these kinds of things. And you listen to them a few more times and they get to you. And then you're like, oh, I need to toughen up. And so it really did take a long time for me to feel safe to be like, okay, yeah, I'm sensitive. This is too much for me and it's okay. I'm not gonna go on this trip with you guys. I feel like doing something else. And that's fine because at the end of the day, they will enjoy their trip. A lot more if I'm not there stressing myself.
Right.
Happy doing whatever I feel like doing. And so at the end of the day, everyone wins. And I think, it's just, it's a lot of practice involved. And, you know, if it doesn't work one time, that's okay.
100%. It's an ongoing, I mean, I think this is the case. Whatever you're dealing with, whether you're dealing with being highly sensitive or anything else, the whole life itself is an unfolding journey. There is no destination. There's no like, I think we're very much in this kind of checkbox mentality where it's like, oh, I have to do these things and then I'll have that thing and then everything will be okay, like it'll all be fine. Well, you know, it's already fine and it's already not fine. There's always, you can always find evidence of both, right? And you know, I think that's the thing, you know, you were saying about making the choice to remove yourself from things that don't feel good. And I know I know several people now who deliberately remove themselves from social media, for example, because it feels too much. And I've got to admit, it does get to me sometimes, not a lot. I think I've done quite a good job of curating my feed now, where the people that I follow and the people that follow me are all in that, and it's not about creating only positivity, it's not that, but I think you can look at the, you can look at what's happening in the world and be objective without being negative and without being fear driven, right? And I think that's what I've done quite a good job of doing. I feel like a lot of the people I follow, they don't shy away from these big issues that are happening in the world, but they come at them from an empowered place, from a place of acceptance and release. So there are certain things that we need to accept that can't be changed, but then we focus on what we can change, which is often just our own perception of it and our own choice as to how involved we get in that thing. But I've seen, you know, occasionally on social media people, or I hear people complaining that it's such a negative place to be and it drains them and, you know, and it's awful. And I think when it feels like that, the right thing to do is absolutely to come away. And I've done it several times, like a bit of a detox. And I always think it's funny, I saw somebody post recently saying, oh, this isn't an airport, you don't have to announce your departure, because people will go, everybody listen, I will be leaving the land of Facebook, please don't send a search party. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, what, who are you? I don't even know who you are. But this is the thing, it's just, you can just remove yourself from it. I know one lady I know, she removes the app from her phone on a Friday night, mm-hmm. and then she puts it back on a Monday, because for her business it makes sense to be on there, mm-hmm. but on the weekend there's no need. And I think I love that idea, because mm-hmm. I've noticed, I'm kind of getting into another tangent now, but it's all part of it, I think, because I don't know what you think about this. I feel like if you are highly sensitive to energy and to things like that going on, and if you're in it's hard to put this in the right words. I hope that this makes sense. If you've woken up in a slightly down in the dumps kind of low vibe energy, mm-hmm. and then you pick up social media or something that is matching that energy, and somebody complaining or someone having an argument or whatever, it almost becomes addictive. It's like, mm-hmm. I want more bad. Like, I want to feel really shit. Like, it's not enough just to feel a little bit crap. I'm just going to sit here. And you can go down a rabbit hole on social media. And I've caught myself doing this before, where I've just been scrolling, and it's because I'm at a bit of a low ebb. I tend not to do it if I'm in a better space. But if I'm feeling a bit depleted of energy or not very well, or mm-hmm. just a little bit sad or whatever, like if it's one of those days where I'm not on top of the world, it becomes a bit like a vortex. It sucks you in and you feel like you're holding the phone in your hand and you're going, I don't want to look at this crap. And yet here I am looking at this crap and I can't stop myself from doing it. So I don't know what you think about that, but it almost becomes an addiction. It's like, mm-hmm. I need more bad stuff. It's like, I don't know, it becomes like you become obsessed with getting more of that. And obviously consciously that's not the case. It sounds like madness. Like, why would you want more of that? But I've noticed it in myself, and I'm sure other people do it too. So I think, you know, I would definitely say to everybody listening, it's just really good to be aware, be really self-aware of your habits and of what you're doing. Not from a judgment place and not from a shameful place, but it's just interesting to note that, isn't it? Because, you know, the next time you're having a really bad day, have a little look. If you can be mindful enough to do it, have a little look around and look at what you've filled your day with that day. Because I bet it hasn't been any kind of exercise or stretching or good food. You know, we crave, when we feel like crap, we crave more crap. That's why we eat chocolate and crisps. And, you know, we just want to put more bad in our body. There comes a point where you just have to recognize that and go, okay, even though I feel like stuffing this entire packet of biscuits, I'm going to go and take a walk instead, because you can shift out of it really quickly. Like you mentioned, walking in nature, that's one of the things I like to do as well. And I've noticed it actually with my middle son. He is so, so sensitive mm-hmm. to energy. Like, he'll come home from school absolutely exhausted, because he's absorbed all of the energy of everybody at school. And I've noticed with him, taking him out in nature mm-hmm. is like a magic pill. Mm-hmm. And he never, ever, ever wants to go though. When he's in a bad place and I say, we're going out, he's like, oh, I don't want to go out. I don't want to get dressed. And that's mm-hmm. what we're like, isn't it? It's like, no, don't make me, I don't want to take off my onesie. I want to be in my onesie. I just want to be in this dark room. But when I make him do it, I see such a shift. It's like a different child. Mm-hmm. The minute he's up a tree, he's happy as a pig in shit. And he doesn't want it. Like, he often then wants to live there. He'll quite often say, Mummy, you can leave me here. I'll just live in the tree. He says that all the time. I'm like, I'm sure he's going to be one of these people when he's older that just lives in a tree house. Like, there'll be no TV. There'll be nothing like that. He's just so, and I really believe in that. And I think, the other thing I wanted to come to around that was these conditions we hear about, like autism, ADHD, and, you know, children that are on the spectrum are highly sensitive. Like, my 9-year-old has suspected mm-hmm. autism. You were mentioning earlier about the loud music and, you know, even just being in a room with too many people, it's sensory overload for him and he cannot cope with it. And I think you're right. You know, a lot of those traits are part of things like autism, ADHD, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
And then those things are seen as bad, and they're mm-hmm. seen as like a weakness, or they're seen as something that has to be fixed. So
yeah.
The message that you're bringing of that, it's a beautiful gift. And of course, it just, yeah, because it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah. And we just need to learn how to deal with it. It's like,
right.
It's like learning to speak and everything, you know. It's just something that no one teaches us.
Yeah, of course.
So it takes time, and because if we're taught when we're younger, no, this is bad, and you're too sensitive, and you know all these things, they might take time to reverse, but it's possible. And for example, me, whenever I feel like not doing anything or you know not getting up or something, I watch Friends because it's something that makes me happy.
Do you know what, this has been a running theme on this podcast. You're the third person that I've interviewed in the last 2 weeks that said when everything's gone to shit, I put Friends on. Isn't it just the best thing in the world?
It is. Like, I actually, like, I don't watch my phone. I don't scroll through Instagram. I go to Friends, have one or two episodes, and then I feel like, okay, I can go on with my life now.
The world is better. Yeah. Do you know what?
It is.
And I've got a theory about that because it's a really funny show, number one. But I don't know about you, but for me, it holds a lot of nostalgia as well because I remember, like, I've seen those episodes a bajillion times. I could probably reenact like any part of Friends right now.
Yeah.
You know, we could probably just have a like Friends riff off and just go for it. But you know, there are things that I remember, like for example, I remember watching Friends when I was pregnant. So I like when I watch Friends now, I remember how I felt when I was pregnant and the excitement of that. Once I'd got over the initial shock of it and all of that. And then, you know, even this is real nostalgia. When the final episode of Friends aired, I was in a hotel the night before my first wedding day. Now I'm not in that marriage anymore. I'm in a new one, but I can remember it was so funny. We'd all got to the hotel. We'd all got in there and gone, okay, we'll go to our rooms, we'll settle down, and then we'll all meet in the bar for a drink. My dad went to the bar, there was nobody there, and he was stood at the bar like an absolute Billy No Mates going, what's going on? And in the end, he came and found me in my room, and we were all in my room, crammed around this little TV, because it was the finale of Friends. It was like, it's the last one ever, and we were all crying, and it was like... But there was so much nostalgia in that show. And I think there's so much hope in that show as well. Like, you absolutely feel like you want to be in that life, right? You just want, you want Chandler to be your best friend. Like, you want to date Ross or like whoever you're, like, everyone's got their favorite, haven't they?
Yeah.
And everybody feels like they're like one of the things. Like, I think I'm probably, well, I don't know. I'm a good mix of Phoebe and Rachel, I think, because I'm totally ditzy. I'm probably more Rachel than Phoebe though, but my sister's Monica. And I just think this is the thing, like we all relate to the people, don't we? So
yeah, and I think you feel less alone when you watch it because they are a group of friends. And for example, I have friends, I've traveled a lot, so my friends are a bit all over the world. And sometimes when I want to call them, the time zone isn't right, or you know, they are busy. So sometimes I really do feel like, oh, I miss my friends. And then watching them is like, oh,
they're somewhere. These'll do. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I have to say, I don't know if you've seen it, but have you watched Schitt's Creek on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
I mean, this is a bold statement. I like Schitt's Creek as much as I love Friends.
Really?
It was absolutely, if you want a feel good, you guys listening, if you need something to help you feel good, it's freaking hilarious. It's brilliant. It's just brilliant. I'm still in mourning that I finished it. There's no more. And like, I'm like, now every time I see one of the characters on Instagram or something, I'm like clawing after them because I'm just like, like, give me something else. I need something else. It, like, honestly, it's so good. It's like a more up-to-date version of Friends, I suppose. I mean, it's nothing like Friends in a lot of ways, but in the way that you relate to the characters and you feel like you know them. And then, like, you almost get offended. Like, I don't know about you, but I get offended if I see Joey Tribbiani on a chat show and now he's grey and old. I'm like, what? Like, you weren't allowed to get older. How very dare you? You know, you have to stay as you were. Like, you know, and I think this is the thing about Friends, or actually the point we're making is everybody's got some version of that. If Friends isn't your bag, I bet there is something that you love to watch, or something like music does this for me as well. There are songs that when I hear them, I'm instantly transported back to that time in my life when I was cutting shapes on a dance floor in a nightclub, or, you know, or on holiday drinking.
That's the key.
You know,
yeah,
it's just find.
It's all about you getting to know yourself so well that you know what helps you whenever you're feeling stuck. And anything could be as small as, I don't know, washing your hair, going for a shower, listening to a song, like you said, or having a look at old photos, watching a movie, something that will make you feel better. Like a little step and then a next one. And it's all about knowing yourself well enough to be like, okay, I know what to do. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to add to that as well, because I feel like I need to say this. When I've been in my darkest places and I have that list of things I could do, go for a walk, go for a drive, listen to music, in that space, I don't want to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just want to be in my bed. So what I've learned to do in that case.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, right. It's be empowered around that choice. It's like, okay, if you don't want to do any of that stuff, then don't. But just know that this here, sitting in the bed crying with the duvet or whatever, that's a moment in time that's going to pass. So so do what you want to do. Feel empowered around your choice. Know that that's what you're choosing, and then choose to do something after that. And usually when I get into that headspace, it's like, well, all right, then it's a pretty shitty choice. And instead, I'm going to go for a walk, you know, or I'll just put the music on. I've got one of these Google hubs now, so I don't even have to get out of my bed. I can literally just say Google Play and I'll just say a song name and it will come on. Something I've started doing with my little girl, actually. I don't know how it began. I fancied a dance, right? And so I put on the Floor by J-Lo, which is just such a great dance track. I love J-Lo anyway. And so now me and my little girl, we dance to J-Lo, and we're doing it most days now. And I just think it's such a highlight of the day. Like when you're in lockdown and the weather's crap and you can't go out and there's nothing like good to eat in the house, like, and everything else feels like it's falling away.
Yeah.
On the Floor by J-Lo, get it on. And we do ridiculous dancing, stupid dancing. I throw her up in the air, we twirl. And by the way, I just think you can do that whether you've got a 2-year-old to dance with or not. Like get a kitchen dance party going. Like you'll feel completely ridiculous, but it's such a cure for feeling stuck. And again, this isn't about ignoring feelings, right? If you're truly feeling sad about something, let yourself feel that way. But if you're ready to feel better, these are the ways you can do it, right? And you know, like Svenja just said,
shaking the body as well. Like if you don't feel like dancing, just starting to shake, say the hand, then the whole arms, both legs, and then the whole body, and then do that for like 2 or 3 minutes and see how you feel afterwards.
I love that. I've not heard that before. I'm gonna
really
do that.
Powerful.
I bet you'd get the giggles like, after a while, because you'd be like,
you
I'm doing
really
it.
Really light afterwards, and then you can imagine like shaking everything off. And I sometimes do that before a yoga session with my students, and it really helps to get people grounded and be like, okay, I'm here now, I've shaken off all the day, and I'm ready to, you know, take a moment for myself.
Yeah, do you know what? That's important, you know, because, for example, that what you've just shared, the shaking thing, right? It's not that after doing that for 2 minutes, suddenly all your problems will have disappeared and you'll be in a different place.
That would be amazing, though.
I know, wouldn't that be great? You'd be a very rich woman. I've got the cure to all problems. But I think, and this is the case, like whatever it is, whether it's shaking your body, dancing, singing, or something else, the point is. And this is the thing, I think we're always trying to get to a point of where the problem doesn't exist. And the truth of the matter is, often that isn't what feels better. It's often just a perspective shift, right? You know, when you're feeling overwhelmed by a problem, you get sucked down by those thoughts and beliefs that you can't overcome it. When you take a drive or listen to music or watch an episode of Friends or even get a phone call from one of your own friends or anything like that, it's like a reset. And then it isn't that the problem went away, but you're renewed in your energy and you start to see things that you couldn't see before because your head was down. Now your head's up and you're starting to see, oh, actually, that might be a solution. I could try this. I could do that. And you just get this. It's like a second wind. It's like, okay, this is what we're dealing with. I saw my friend do this. my friend Nunu, who I talk about all the time on this show, she had cancer. We lost her last year. I saw her constantly, you know, get another piece of news that wasn't great. And it would make her sad. She would feel upset about it. And then at some point, her perception would shift, her energy would shift, and she'd almost shake it off and be like, right, that's what we're dealing with. Cool. What do we do? You know? Yeah. And it was like, you have to have that moment of pause. You have that moment where you let yourself cry, you let yourself feel sad. But the point is, you're always moving forward. You're always moving through. You're never, ever stuck, even when it feels like you are. So have your moment, whatever that looks like, however that lasts. Then you come, like you said, it's one step, then another, then another, then another. And this is how we move through. And I saw her do that countless times. Really amazing. Truly, truly amazing. Tell us about the gift that you are offering the listeners.
Right. So if you feel like you could be highly sensitive as well, it's the first time you've heard of it and would like to learn more about it, I have an ebook on my website that you can download. And it will just explain all the different traits. I even put some of the voices of the women that I interviewed and some journal exercises. And it's just a great way to get you started, to get to know yourself in a whole new way, and make friends with being sensitive.
I love that. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And we've also got a link to the yoga nidra practice that you mentioned that reduces overwhelm. Yes. So that will be really, really good as well. And I also feel like... Yeah, I feel like I also need to put a link to Friends and Schitt's Creek, because we've given them a shout out as well. So get yourself, if you've never, by the way, I want to know, if you're listening to this and you've never seen an episode of Friends, I need to hear from you, because I feel like that's like finding a fairy at the bottom of the garden. I just don't think those people exist. So if you're one of those people, then come and blow my mind and let me know. And if you're going to watch anything... try it and let us know. Yeah, watch Friends and Schitt's Creek as well. If you guys try that out, I want to know what you think. As always,
I don't know.
Definitely yet. Should. Yeah. Do you know what? You'll watch the first episode and you'll be like, "Hey, do you know what I mean?" Especially if you're going in like, "Now I've set that bar." You'll be like, "This is nothing like Friends. Like, she's nuts." You have to get about 3 or 4 episodes in. You have to give yourself a chance to know the characters. And then it will change your whole life, and then you'll be in mourning like I am when it's finished, and you'll be like, oh, I actually feel jealous of the people that haven't watched it yet. I'm like, oh, you're gonna see it for the first time, it's so exciting. I'm gonna have to go and watch it now, I think. That's what I'll do for the rest of my day. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. So we'll put all those links in the show notes.
Great.
And if you guys want to reach out to connect with Svenja, we've also got a link to her website and to her Instagram as well. Yeah. So for questions, etc., then you can reach out and get in touch. Fabulous. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your wonderful time, for
you,
such an amazing topic, such an amazing conversation that, you know, it's so important. It's just important to know that, you know, you're not broken, you're not wrong. There's nothing wrong with you if you're highly sensitive. In fact, you have an amazing gift, and Svenja is the person to help you unlock that. So let her help you.
Yeah. And I think we, you know, there's not enough people talking about it yet. So we just need to spread the word and help people realize you're perfect the way you are, and you just have to find your own way of being yourself.
Yes. Amen to that. What a brilliant way to finish. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening, remember, confidence is yours as soon as you choose it. I'm going to be back again really soon. Svenja, thank you so much, and look after yourselves.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Lily Badcock on the Confidence Academy podcast. Please subscribe to the show to make sure you never miss an episode. And also, why not join me over in the Permission to Soar Facebook group? The link is in the show notes, along with all of the other links mentioned in today's episode. Thanks for listening. Until next time.